Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ I'd like to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting through the box salutations upon the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم The final messenger of Allah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم reported to have said He told us that we need to perform the Hajj that is farz upon us. And we all know that Hajj is farz upon us when we are physically and financially capable. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you perform the Hajj that is farz upon you, you'll get the reward as if you participated in 20 ghazwat. Ghazwat are those battles in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself participated in. So the Hajj that you perform that is farz upon you, you'll get the same reward as if you participated in 20 battles in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in. But then the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say that he who recites salutations upon me just once, he will get the same reward as well. So please make a habit to send salutations through the park upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of us, Hajj is only farz upon us once in our life. None of us here can participate in a battle in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in. But young or old, strong or weak, rich or poor, we can all send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So please make it part of your daily routine. And I say literally every week that who knows that one extra salutation, the one extra durood e paak that we send upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam might make all the difference on the day of judgment. A pious person was once asked, when will I become a true believer? When will I become a mu'min? He asked this question. The reply that he got was that will be when you love Allah. You will truly believe when you love Allah. Now the question has come to your mind and it came to that person's mind as well. He said, okay, that's fair enough. But how will I know? How will I know whether I love Allah or not? And the person replied that you will know when you love Allah, when you love the final messenger, when you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then the next question came to his mind. When will I know that I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's easy to say it. I can say I love Allah. I can say I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what is the criterion behind this? How can I decide or be able to differentiate whether I do or I don't? And so the reply that he got was that you will know that you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when you obey his orders, when you follow his sunnah, when you love the people who love him and hate the people who hate him. Only then can you claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And only when you claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can you claim to love Allah. And only when you claim to love Allah that we can see that we are amongst the believers. Having the love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman. And it's fundamental in parts of our iman. That in the Quran it tells us that we need to believe. But then we also need to follow and respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the other actions follow. So unless you respect and love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then all of your other actions are void. So it's part of our iman and it's important upon us. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, and obey Allah and the Messenger. Allah has told us that obedience to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obedience to Allah. If you are obedient to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you are obedient to Allah. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, he who obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. The Muslim's faith, our faith cannot be complete. It cannot be complete unless we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dearer to us than our father, than our children, than our own self, until then we cannot make that claim. There's a beautiful hadith which he says that none of you will truly believe until I am dearer to him than his father, his son, his own self, and all the people. In another hadith narrated in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was holding the hand of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. And Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu said to him, Ya Rasulullah, you are dearer to me than anything except my own self. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, by the one in whose hand is my soul, you will not have complete faith until I am dearer to you than your own self." Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, he said, "The only thing I love you more, the only thing that I love more than you is my own self. I love myself, I love my own life more than you." And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, you will not have complete faith until you love me more than even your own self." And then he said that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love you more than my own self." And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your iman is complete. There was an instance once where a Bedouin, he came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when is the day of judgment? When is the day of judgment?" Now normally, whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked a question, he would give an answer. But this time, rather than giving an answer, he replied with a question. He replied with a question. He said to him, rather than telling him when the day of judgment was, he said to him, "What have you prepared for it?" And this is the question that we all need to ask. Rather than knowing when is the day of judgment, what have we prepared for it? And so the Bedouin was asked, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "What have you prepared for it?" And he said, "I've prepared very little. I've done very little. I've not done a lot. But I love Allah and I love His Rasul. I love Allah and I love the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "That you will be with those that you love. You will be with those that you love." And if we see in the life of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pain that they took, you know, when we know that loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman, but how? What did the companions do? How did they show their love? Because it's okay for me, you know, if you teach someone that you need to do this, but you need to show them how to do it. And the companions, how they lived their life, showed how they loved the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was an instance once in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he bought a horse. And he said that, "Here's the money. I will come at such and such time and I will collect the horse." So the time came. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he came to collect the horse. Now the person, he then retracted. He said, "I didn't do any deal with you. I didn't sell you this horse. I don't know who you are." And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Look, I came here. I purchased this horse of you. I gave you the money at such and such time, and we agreed that I would come and collect it now." Now this person, he said, that, "I don't know who you are. If you are telling the truth, then produce a witness." Now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that when this transaction took place, there was nobody there. It was just these two people. And one companion, Sayyidina Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's the problem? What's happening here?" And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, that, "Look, I bought this horse of this person. We agreed with the transaction. And when the time has come now, he's now saying that, I don't know who you are. And he's put a condition on it that if you are telling the truth, tell me, who is your witness?" Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu, he put his hand up and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am your witness." Now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him. He knew that he was not there when the transaction took place. So he said to him, "Ya Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu, what are you saying? What are you saying?" And he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I swear by Allah that you bought this horse." And he agreed, didn't he? The condition that he had put was met. So he handed over the horse and disappeared. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then looked at him and said, "Ya Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu, you're not there. You weren't there when I bought this horse. How do you know? How do you know that I bought this horse?" Now the answer that he gave is recorded and will be mentioned on the members of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the members of the masjid from then until the day of judgment. He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have we seen heaven? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have we seen the hellfire? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have we seen Allah?" Obviously no. Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu then said to him that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon you telling us, upon you informing us, we believe that Allah exists. Upon you telling us, we believe that heaven exists. Upon you telling us, we believe that hellfire exists. Can we not believe that you bought a horse?" And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so pleased with him. And whenever I read or mention this incident that took place, the best part is the next part where it says Now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at him. He smiled at his companion. You know, and the companions, they used to compete with each other. We compete with each other, don't we? We compete with each other, who can have the biggest house, who can have the biggest car, who can have the newest phone, the newest iPad, the best property. This is our competition. What was their competition? Their competition was who can please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. That's how they struggled and strived every day and sacrificed their life, sacrificed everything they had to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so pleased with him. He said, Ya Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu, in the Quran it says that whenever a transaction takes place, there must be two witnesses. Two witnesses. But from today, the witness of Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu is the equivalent to two witnesses. That his witness is equivalent to two. Now again, when you realize this, when you read this, you also understand another thing. You also understand that the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this authority. The companions didn't say to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu, what are you saying? It says in the Quran this, and you're saying, no, for me it can be different. How can it be different for me? Allah azza wa jalla sent the other. No, they didn't say this. Because they knew the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this authority. In the same way, when Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he married the daughter of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Fatima Tuzara radiallahu anhu. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, that whilst you are married to my daughter, you will not marry anybody else. Whilst you are married to my daughter, you will not marry anybody else. Now Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he could have said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah azza wa jalla said in the Quran that I can have four wives. Why are you stopping me? I can have four wives. Why are you stopping me? And at that time, it was the custom. At that time, it was regularly, it was the custom that people had more than one wife. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you stopping me? The Quran is saying this. But he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything because he realized the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. The respect that he had. And this is something that we all need to understand. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it came to the miswak, when it came to the miswak, he said that if it was not a burden upon my ummah, I would have made it wajib upon you. He has that authority. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has that authority to do this. On the day of judgment, if we look at the day of judgment, we also understand the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. Think about it. We live our life. The book of deeds is created. On the day of judgment, we are told that if we have done well, then the book of deeds will be handed in our right hand. If not, it will be handed in our left hand. Why is there a need for the day of judgment? Why is there a need for all of these things? It's not as if you're going to be able to talk your way out of it. You know, when you're in the court, when you go to the court, you can talk your way out to and, you know, find a clever way to convince the judge that you've not committed this crime. But on that day, you'll not be able to do that. The day of judgment is set up to show to us the authority, the status that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. On that day, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can intercede for us, and that's showing his status. On that day, it is said that thrones will be set up, and all the prophets will be sitting on their thrones. But one throne will be empty, and that will be the throne of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because he'll be running around trying to save us. The day of judgment shows us the status that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. The day of judgment shows us his position, his authority, his maqam that he has. And so we need to learn to love and respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And show that love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, if you look at the companions, the love that they had. Another example, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was raising funds. And again, I mentioned earlier on competition. Competition. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, that day, he said to himself that today I'm going to win. Today I'm going to win. Today I'm going to outdo Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, because he knew that if there was anybody that can please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody, it would be Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So he said to him, today I will outdo him. Today I will do better than him. So he went home. All of his goods, all of his wealth, everything that he had, any livestock that he had, anything that he had, he divided in two. Easy to say. Easy to say. When you read it and it says divided into, it's easy to say. But if I was to ask you, all the wealth that you have, everything that you have, half it. Half it. And give it to the masjid today. You'll find it very hard. Half it, 1% of it, half a percent of it, we would struggle. We would not be able to do it. So he got half of his wealth and he presented it at the feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, Ya Umar radiallahu anhu, what have you brought and what have you left for your family? You brought all of this, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you. But what have you left for your family? And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything that I got, I divided in two. Half I brought here and half I've left for my family. Subhanallah. It is also stated on that day that Sayyidina Usman that he donated camels in the path of Allah. Not just the camels, but the camels laden with goods as well for the travel. A camel is a very expensive commodity today, and it's a very expensive commodity then. But then, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq he had not arrived. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu arrived, he arrived in a cloak made out of jute. Jute is that material that, you know, sometimes you get sacks of rice, sacks of onions, you know, they're made in that material, quite a rough material. Nowadays, there are a lot of them in plastic bags or paper bags, but they used to be in this jute material. He made a cloak out of that. No buttons, thorns holding the cloak together. And he came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he presented at the feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam absolutely everything that he had. Every single thing that he had with him, he presented at the feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to him, Ya Abu Bakr, what have you brought and what have you left behind? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything I have, I brought. For my family, I've left Allah and His Rasul. And that is all I need. That is all I need. These were the sacrifices that they made. They made sacrifices for the deen of Islam. What sacrifices do we make? What sacrifices have we made? And if it wasn't for sacrifice, where would me and you be today? Now, amongst the people that are sat here today, unless there is a Sayyid, and that Sayyid can get his lineage all the way back to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other than that person, if that person exists, other than that person, I talk to all of you now. Go back in your history, go back in your lineage, go back 100 years, go back 200 years, go back 300 years, 400 years, 500 years, 600 years, go back even 1,000 years. You will find someone in your ancestry that was not a Muslim. That was not a Muslim. For a second, think about that day. Now, in my incident, I don't know when that day is. And you will not know what that day is. Maybe some of you do. Think about it, about that day when somebody came to your ancestor and invited them to Islam. Now, we don't know what that day was. But what a beautiful day it was. Because if it was not for that day, you would not be here today. Think about that individual that came to your ancestor. Whoever that individual is, I don't know who he is, but whoever that individual is that invited your ancestor to Islam, more than likely, he has passed away now. Unless you accepted Islam in the last 10, 30, 40, 50 years, he will be an individual that has passed away. But because of his efforts, you are here today. And because of his efforts, I believe through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla that his grave will be amongst the graves of the Garden of Paradise. But if he did not come out to his house, if he did not come and meet your ancestor, if he did not come and meet your family member, where would you be today? You would not be here. More than likely, you would not be here. So the sacrifice that he made, that we don't even value, we don't even think about the sacrifice that he made. But because of his sacrifice, we are here today. What is our role now? What sacrifices should we be making? Should we not also be making sacrifices for the deen of Islam? Should we also not portray ourselves in such a way that people come close to us? That people accept Islam? You are living in a country where Islam is a minority. And you don't have to be a scholar to portray Islam. You don't have to be a scholar to be an ambassador of Islam. Every one of you that is sitting here today is an ambassador of Islam. But you don't have to be a scholar to do this. Because if you look at the history of Islam, those people that accepted Islam, how did they accept it? Some of them accepted it by reading the Quran. Some of them accepted it by reading the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the majority of them, and I can probably say more than 90% of the people that accepted Islam in the history of Islam, accepted Islam by looking at you. By looking at the person that they meet. By looking at the character of the person that they meet. That kind, that gentle, that passionate, that helping person that they met in front of them. They're impressed by the individual. You are the ambassadors of Islam. Now that character, where does it come from? That kindness, where does it come from? It comes from the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have you ever thought about it, that just to smile is a sadaqah? You know, we're struggling to give money to the masjid today, but smile is also a sadaqah. Smile. Meet people with a smile. We should do this. And if we do this, people will come closer to us. But if I'm on a grumpy and I'm like this all day and I'm talking to you like this, nobody's going to listen to me at all, are they? So we need to have that character with us. And we need to develop that character. And to develop that character, we need to know who our role model is. People try and cut their hairs in a certain way because they have a certain role model, a certain football player, a certain cricket player, a certain film star, whatever it is. Our role model is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how many of us know about him? How many of us have read his life? How many of us read the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Unfortunately, in today's day and age, we know more about many other things in life than we know about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even today, there are very few youngsters that are here. When I say youngsters, I mean children. MashaAllah, teenagers, elders here. But if I was to say to you today, name me 10 sports players, be it football, be it cricket, even in Ireland, it's rugby, whatever the sport is, you could probably do it. Name me 10 politicians, you could probably do it. Astaghfirullah, 10 actors, actresses, singers, you could probably do it. But if I was to ask you today to name me those 10 companions, the Ashram of Bashra, that were guaranteed paradise, where are we now? How many of us can name those 10 companions? How many of us can forget them, Ashram of Bashra, the 10 special, unique companions that were guaranteed paradise? How many of us can name 10 companions? Even easier than that, how many of us can even name 10 prophets? If you were to sit down and rename, give the names of 10 prophets, you would struggle. And that tells us something. That we know more about the dunya than we know about the deen. We know more about the dunya than we know about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person that we're supposed to represent, that person that we're supposed to be the role model for, where are we going? So I come back to my original statement. When will I know that I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This will be when you obey his orders. This will be when you follow his footsteps. This will be when you adopt his sunnah. This will be when you love the people who love him and hate the people who hate him. It is our duty to adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Live our life in such a way that we become lovers of the Prophet of Allah, that we follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, the lovers, the true lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't ask questions. They don't ask why. Nowadays you get youngsters and why is that a sunnah? Why should I grow a beard? Why should I wear the turban? Why should I do this? Why should I do this? The people that love, they don't ask. If you look at the companions, they did things that people think, well, why? What is the purpose of this? There was one companion who was the son of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq. I'll finish with this. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, he was his son. And he was riding his camel. And as he's riding his camel, he does this. And they said, Sayyidi, what are you doing? What was that all about? And he said, I remember once the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was going past this place, he was sat on his camel and he did this. That's why I'm doing it. Where's the logic? The companions that were with him said, Sayyidi, do you realize? Do you see that tree? There's a tree there. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with us, the tree was small. The branches were sticking out. And the reason why the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lowered his blessed head was that if he did not, the branches would have hit his blessed head. The branches would have hit his blessed head. And the companion said, I don't care whether the tree is there or not. I don't care whether the branches are there or not. All I know is my Prophet did it and I will do it. That is love. That is respect. That I request you all to read a seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a website called www.dawatislami.net. There's a book section there. And in that book section, in many languages, if mashallah the people here can read English, there'll be other languages as well. There'll be books there. Download them and read them completely free of charge. And one of the books that you'll be able to find is the seerah, the biography of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read it, get closer to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, we can learn to love and respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as we should learn to respect and love him. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
For you is my prayer, may you keep ascending success. Said, O Muballik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Said.